portion of scripture you're reading doesn't seem to be very practical. Read the book of Proverbs for a few days to sharpen your attention upon the very minute details of your living to which the Word of God gives direction. In Proverbs 13 this evening, we're going to look at verse 24. And boys and girls, you'll be very interested in this verse tonight. And so will parents. It says here, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." That is, the daddy who never spanks his little boy hates his son. "But he that loves him chastens him betimes." Mothers and dads, I know there are days that you spend that when you reach the end of the day, you wonder if you have learned anything yet about disciplining your children. When your children wake up fighting with one another in the morning, and you have a telephone conversation, and while you're on the telephone, you tell them to do something and they won't listen. And then you see your little boy out in the yard bop the neighbor over the head with a baseball bat. And you have to send your little girl up to the room early because she sassed you or talked back. Sometimes you begin to wonder if it's worth all the effort. And sometimes you begin to wonder if you simply live in the midst of utter undisciplined chaos. Well, if you don't wonder, maybe you ought to. And the Word of God has a great deal to say about peace and order in the home. It has a great deal to say about how to go about disciplining your children. It gives very specific directions, and one of the central ones is right here in verse 24. Now, of course, occasional moments of chaos, which visit every one of our homes, are not the time to reevaluate all of your practices of discipline. But if you live in your home in the midst of constant chaos, where your children are in constant disobedience, then you had better reevaluate your methods and your modes of discipline. First, we see in this text this evening that corporal punishment, bodily punishment, for the boys and girls spanking or beating with a rod or a stick or a belt, corporal punishment is an essential means of ordering the home and of disciplining children. And the Word of God very frequently commands parents to give this its proper place of practice in disciplining your children. The rod is ordained by God for parental use. And though it seems strange to you children, you wonder if your mom and your dad are being cruel to you, and sometimes when they spank you, you even say, "You don't like me anymore." But the Bible says if they really like you, then they're going to spank you. If they really love you with their whole heart, then they're going to paddle you when you do things that are contrary to God's holy word. Rightly used, the rod is an instrument to shape the character of a child, both in his outward character, his character in society and in shaping his soul toward God to obey. And parents, if you never spank your child, then there's something wrong with your system of discipline. If you've never spanked your child, there's something wrong with your view of discipline and your use of it in the home. A person who never uses the rod, according to our text, hates the child. Don't you listen to those psychologists who suggest that if you spank your child, there are going to be some dark thoughts formed in their mind that later in life are going to come back to haunt them. There are many, very few doctors today who are still saying that, but there are a few. And I guess we'll find more psychologists than doctors who do say it. It seems sometimes to be loving to your children just to overlook the things that they do wrong. But if you overlook them, it's a sign of hatred towards them or of not having a right heart of love as the scripture means for a parent to love the child. Fond parents think it love, but divine wisdom calls it hatred. He that spares the rod hates his son. Very plain. You can't make it much plainer than that. And indulgence of children has its root in self-indulgence. Have you ever asked yourself why it is you want to just pass over an offense, a serious offense of a child without giving them a spanking? And any parent who really loves his child has that urge, oh, I might as well let it go this time. I've spanked him too often lately. Seems like I'm always on him. Why is it that you don't want to punish the child or be harsh by spanking them when they've done something really naughty, like being obstinate, like lying, or stealing? Why don't you want to do it? The reason usually is because you're indulging yourself. You indulge the child because you're indulging yourself. It makes you feel bad to spank them. It's unpleasant to you if you're really a loving parent. It's not something that's enjoyable. Sometimes our boys and girls think so, but spanking children just is not enjoyable for a parent who loves his little girl or his little boy. It hurts to punish them, and you'd rather allow them to go ahead and do what they're doing than to correct them and to see that they obey. But this sort of treatment of not inconveniencing yourself to spank children can lead them to utterly perish. If you love the child, you'll pay the cost of chastening them. And that's what our strict scripture is pointing out. The rod is directly linked to the soul's salvation. Turn to Proverbs 22:15. Very interesting, and I'm not sure I understand altogether how this is linked up, but it's clear from many texts in the book of Proverbs that applying the rod to a child and spanking a child is directly linked with training a child up to salvation. Avoiding a moment of bodily pain may eternally injure a child. Proverbs 22 and verse 15. Because foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but a rod of correction will drive that foolishness far from him. Boys and girls, you were born into this world foolish. Sometimes you think you're pretty wise, but you were born with foolishness and grafted into your character and into your nature. And part of the reason parents are to spank you is to drive out that foolishness. Foolishness is the birthright of every little baby that's born into this world. Foolish, evil character because they're hewn out of that rock of Adam. And they're made of the same stuff as Adam. And Adam was disobedient and rebellious against God. And every one of you boys and girls were born into this world with hearts of the same kind of rebellion and foolishness. Why is it so foolish to walk contrary to God's word? Because you're destroying your own soul. Because you'll eternally perish by defying God and defying His Word. And it's the parent's business to see to it that you learn to fear God and to fear His commandments. And part of the teaching that there is a punishment to come because of sin is their being faithful and giving you spankings when you break God's commandments. Evil is bound up in the heart. That is, it's incorporated into the nature. Little boys and girls aren't sweet, innocent things. They haven't fallen into the gross sins that we adults have, but they're not sweet, innocent things. Every one of the sins that you and I have committed had their root back in the nursery. Every little baby, when he gets angry, has the root of murder in his heart. Every little baby, when he acts deceitfully to the parents, has the root of lying in the tongue. Every little baby that follows every desire and passion that it has and insists on satisfying its want when it wants it, has the root of covetousness in its heart and allowed to develop without the rod of correction. This will lead to the worst sorts of sin and to the destruction of a child's soul. So the rod of correction is a means of driving out foolishness. Look at Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14. Another interesting verse, boys and girls. Withhold not correction from the child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with the rod and will deliver his soul from hell. Notice again how correction, spanking, beating with the rod is tied up with the salvation of the soul. It's not cruel to spank a child. God says it's the means of bringing them to life. Of course, it does have to be connected with prayer and with sincere love in the heart and with faith. But this is part of the means by which a parent is to bring a child to the fear of God and to salvation and eternal life. And parents, if you do not demand obedience of your child at home, just because it costs you a little pain and your child a little pain, then according to this text, you're preparing your child for hell. Because beating him with the rod will deliver his soul from hell. Now, this is God's own pattern. And you couldn't find a better pattern for correcting your children. How does God deal with His children? We read it in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and He scourges every son There's not one of you who is a Christian who has not found out that God loves his people so much that he punishes them in this world for their evil to correct them, to bring them back to the ways of righteousness. If you say it's unreasonable or cruel to inflict pain because of something that a child does wrong, then you're really questioning God's character and God's dealings. And you're blaspheming against his name. For it's his pattern of dealing with children to chasten, to rebuke, to deal harshly. Why? Because if pain will drive the person back into the pathway of faith and obedience in this world, it will yield eternal joy in the world to come. And any parent who is not more concerned about the soul of his child than about a moment of discomfort or a moment of pain to his own heart in having to spank the child has a very low view of his responsibility to his children. If you leave the child to his own inclinations, you're certain to leave him to a corrupt heart. When Bud McGarth was here, he told us about the anaconda, the largest snake in the world that they have down in his region in Brazil. And he said that the anaconda does not have a deadly bite, just squeezes its victims to death. And as Bud put it so graphically, he said it just loves them to death. And some parents do love their children to death, a strange kind of love. To always treat them so kindly, to never call into question what they're doing, to never insist on obedience to the law and the standard of God in the home and in society, that the child utterly perishes. We read in the Bible some very sad examples of this. We read of David's sons and the way the child after child of David went on the pathway of disobedience and destruction. We read of his son who usurped the throne from him. And as you read the record of one son who wanted to usurp the throne, we read that David never so much as called in question what he did and never said, "Why are you doing that?" He never even caused the child the pain of questioning what he did. Of course, we see the example in the scripture of Eli, the priest of God, who did rebuke his children, but apparently he never insisted and disciplined them to doing what God expected of them. He rebuked them, he spoke harshly, he may have even hollered at them and got into a rage, as many of you parents do from time to time. But it wasn't the same thing as bringing the rod to bear and seeing that they get into line. And his sons perished, and he himself fell over dead. And he saw the ark of the Lord, the beloved symbol of God's presence, go into the hands of the enemy. All because of his sons, whom he would not chasten and bring into life according to God, with God's holy word. What would you think of a father who allowed a son to bleed to death because he feared that the tourniquet, when the son was injured, he feared that the tourniquet would hurt too much? You'd call him a fool, wouldn't you? Or what would you think of a surgeon who hates the sight of blood, and he sees that his patient is shrinking away from the incision
And so he doesn't perform the necessary operation to save his life. Why, you'd say life was committed into the man's hands and he's not worthy of the trust.
What about you, Sarah? What about you? Our text says that he that spareth the rod hateth
his son. There are painful circumstances in the home that are absolutely necessary to training up children according to God's holy truth. The likeliest way to save your child's soul is by using all of the means of grace, and you are entrusted with their spiritual welfare, that you might teach them the Word of God, and while they're under your government, see to it that they walk in accordance outwardly with the standard of God's Word. And that is necessitates the use of the rod. Corporal punishment is an essential means to training a child. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. The second part of the text tells us, he that loveth his child chastens him betimes. He actually gives him spankings. And this teaches us how to administer corporal punishment. How is it to be done? All right, it says not to give spanking is to be in disobedience of God's word and to not love your children. Well, how are parents to administer this discipline? Certainly, Solomon is not suggesting that you can beat children into the kingdom of God. That's obvious on the surface and obvious from all of his writings. He says, he that loveth the child. So there does have to be love involved. Discipline and spanking and applying the rod must be done in love. It dare not be administered in a fit of rage. We read some gruesome tales even in the Bible of those who became so angry with their children that they dealt with them in a very sinful manner. We read of Saul, who was so enraged at Jonathan for not doing what he had told Jonathan to do to reveal to him where his friend David was, that Saul threw a spear at Jonathan and almost killed his child. There's some people who become so enraged at the disobedience of their children that they maim them or treat them in a harsh manner that is not at all consistent with love. One thing that we must consider is that childishness is not to be punished as sin is. We become enraged over childishness sometimes. And as parents, don't you find yourselves becoming impatient because your children haven't grown up yet? Sometimes they're too weak to carry out the orders that you've given. Sometimes they don't even understand what you said. Sometimes it's mere childishness that their bodies are so clumsy and they knock over your favorite vase and it makes you so mad that you want to give them a spanking. But it was mere clumsiness because their body isn't developed. And that's not consistent with love. Spanking must be in love. And the parent who loves his child won't beat him or apply the rod because of childishness, immaturity, but only because of sin. It's things like obstinacy, deceit, stubbornness, selfishness, anger. These are the things in children that deserve the rod. For these are the roots of sin in the Scripture. And these are the things that demand your greatest severity, parent. Even then, when children have committed terrible sins, we are not to discipline them in a fit of anger, but in love. He that loveth his son takes and sin betimes. The Bible is not condoning those who angrily beat their children. But it is suggesting that those who love their children will do it in the right fashion. And parents, it's a shame, but it's true of all of us, that we find it very easy to excuse our intemperate passion by calling it necessary severity in discipline. We find ourselves too often becoming impatient with our children and suggesting that we're just disciplining them according to God's word. But surely every little failure of a child doesn't deserve rebuke. And when you do finally come to paddling the child, it doesn't have to do with noise and shouting and all of the clamor that the neighbor could can hear it. If you'd be more strict and conscientious in your dealings with your children, there wouldn't be so much need for noise and confusion in the home. And if you do it in the loving spirit, and with prayer, and with compassion for the heart of your child that's bound in sin, and has the wickedness of Adam bound in its nature, then it wouldn't be with such a rage coming from your lips, but perhaps it would be more with some tears coming from your eyes. You must learn to govern your own passions if you're going to govern your children. I wonder if your children ever wonder whether you really fit to discipline them and spank them when you see it, when they see you so purple with rage. We as parents must learn meekness and the duty of discipline. God doesn't delight in the chastenings that he brings upon his people, but he does delight in seeing us corrected and brought back into the way of righteousness. Another thing that we must remember if we're going to discipline in love is that there are other sorts of discipline in applying the rod. Many parents apply the rod too often because they've never learned how to discipline in other ways. The first part of discipline is making it clear to the child what's expected of him. And if you don't instruct the child carefully as to what the Word of God teaches, as to what is proper behavior and what is sinful, if you're not diligent in constantly making that clear, then you're really spanking the child for ignorance, which is mostly your fault. And the first part of good discipline is instruction. Carefully explaining why it is that they're expected to do what they are. And applying it with the Word of God. Teaching them that God hates a lying tongue. Teaching them that anger is like what Cain had when he killed Abel. Teaching them carefully that their sins are against God, not simply against you or the brothers and sisters. And then there are lesser punishments, the lesser offenses. Some people spank their child for the least little thing. And then when they do something worse, there's no discipline left. Certainly a loving parent will learn degrees of discipline for degrees of offenses. And most of all, parents, we need prayer and inner grief to attend the application of the rod. Charles Bridges said, if parents would never correct their children except in a praying frame, It would neither provoke God nor children. If you never apply this rod to the child, except in a trained spirit, you wouldn't be provoking God and you wouldn't provoke your children. And remember the exhortation of the apostle, parents. Provoke not your children to wrath. Apparently, this prominently this is given as a commandment to fathers. Don't provoke your children to wrath by unjust dealing with them. We see then that discipline must be loving. Secondly, it must be painful, for it is a rod that is to be applied. We're not talking about a figurative tap on the hand. Some parents think that they're slapping the child on the head. Don't do that. That's not what the Bible is talking about. Turn to Proverbs 19 and verse 18 for a moment. Solomon tells you to give what is justly due to the child who has sinned. Chasten my son while there is hope. Some people wait until it's too late and there is no hope. We'll mention that in a few moments. Chasten my son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. You know how they get. They're used to getting spankings, and you tell them they're going to get a spanking, they start crying right away before you even touch them. Let not thy soul spare because of crying. Learn that that grief is grief at the hurt that they're going to receive and not grief over their sin. And apply the rod, nevertheless. It's not talking about a little love tap on the hand. When it hurts, don't give up, is what Solomon is saying in Proverbs 19:18. Of course, one thing we have to learn is sometimes other things are more painful than a smack on the wrist or a smack on the bottom. Sometimes denying them privileges can be more painful, especially as children grow older. And it's also painful to you, parents. And when it hurts, you don't stop. When your heart is crying as well as when the child's heart is crying, don't give up the discipline. Look in Proverbs 29, verses 15 and 17. Discipline is to be loving and it's to be painful. Painful to the child and painful to yourself. It's meant to hurt. How can you instill justice, the thought of justice in the mind and the heart and the experience of the child without painful correction? Proverbs 29:15. Rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. And especially it speaks of mothers because mothers are usually more likely to be lenient with children. A child left to himself, mother, leaving to himself and said, "Dad comes home to work," that child will bring the mother to shame. Verse 17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, and he shall give thee light unto thy soul. You see the difference? It's going to be painful to raise a child according to God's holy word. There are going to be painful moments of correction. But such is the pain that you'll save yourself by doing what God has said, and finding rest for your soul in later years. Think of what it is to have the pain of a child that's grown up and gone astray and has no respect for authority. God's authority, the authority of the government, or the authority of the home.
There's many an example to see what pain that brings to the heart of a mother and of a father. So it's going to be painful for you. But where real love is, there it will still be harshness. If you hold back your rod, you'll multiply your pain later. But if you show steady determination, then the longer you're with the child, the less of the rod will be needed. The parent who is consistent from the very start in disciplining his child. Child learns that mom and dad means it when they say it. And when they learn that, there's fewer times and you have to stop them. But if you allow, because of inconsistency, that the child can go far astray, start laboring you to instruct the child, then it's even more painful for yourself and for the child, because the more frequent confrontation between you and the disobedience. The trouble with us is that we hold back and we have to be more cool later, and that's no kindness to the child. Do it quickly. And this brings us really to our third point. The rod is to be applied with love. The rod is to be applied with pain. And the rod is to be applied early. Our text, 13:24, says, "He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." And the word betimes in the Hebrew literally is with the dawn. He that loves his child will chasten him with the dawn. With the dawning of the child's life. With the dawning of every evil within the child's breast. In other words, it will be nipped in the bud. The seeds of sin will be crushed so that the flowers don't grow. The twig will be bent while the child is young, so that when the sturdy oak is grown, the chance of changing the course is not lost altogether.
From the start is the intention here. He that loves his son will chasten him from the very start, from the dawn of his life. It's necessary to break the obstinate will of the child, and then the battle is almost over. Not that there doesn't have to be consistency. Oh, and the little thing seems so sweet. And it seems like teenagers are the real problem, doesn't it? That's what everybody says. Oh, I like my children now. I'm enjoying them, but I'm scared about when they become teenagers. I see the way teenagers are going, and that frightens me. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to control a teenager. Well, the way to control a teenager is in the crib. You must chasten them betimes while they're young. From the start. Little sins overlook harden the heart. And the hardened heart becomes more obstinate. And discipline is more difficult. It's just like when you get a cut in your body. If you take care of the minor cut, there's nothing to it. You don't have to go to a doctor. But if you ignore it for a time, then it festers. And you do have to have professional help. And if you ignore it altogether, it'll kill you. Just a minor cut can do it. And so it is with sin. Children must be disciplined betimes, or at the dawn, at the very outset of disobedience, at the very outset of unruly walking, because it's far more difficult later. And probably, parents, it'll be out of your control.
Think what problems you have with little children, you who do have little children. How do you think you're going to be able to control someone who's grown obstinate with years of being able to do as they please?
Very few of us succeed at it. There's very few cases where it can be done. We must subdue the obstinate will at once. So many parents weep now because they gave no early correction to their children. They want to know how to deal with their children now that they're almost adults. And frankly, it's puzzling. It's puzzling to the psychologist. It's puzzling to the pastor. It's puzzling to those who are mature Christians. After the child's already grown, how do you begin to discipline them? The time is gone. They're now grown. You've already bent the child in the way that they're going to go. A father may contend often with a grown son, an older teenager, but he should have spanked him often when he was a toddler. Not that there aren't going to be contentions with teenagers when you've taken care of your children properly. But this is where the foundation has to be laid and where the discipline must begin. Even the children who are disciplined right in youth are going to have to be disciplined in teenage years. But if you don't discipline them while they're young and spank them when they're sinful, you're making a hopeless situation for yourself when they do become teenagers. It's hard enough when you've been faithful, isn't it, teenagers? Rarely do late experiments with discipline succeed. Proverbs 13:24 then teaches us that if we do not chasten children, we're honoring the children more than we're honoring God. Don't humor your children, parents. Train them. Drive foolishness out of their hearts. Insist upon the ways of wisdom that the Word of God teaches us, not with heart severity, but with wise, considerate, faithful, consistent application of God-given means, and one of those is spanking and using the rod. And if you will discipline in the way that God has appointed, it will commend you to the respect and to the love of your children. You'll find that children really do like to have the limitations set, and teenagers do too, much as they complain. It's seen from the smallest children to the oldest. In a couple of instances in camp, I've even marveled at the way children seem to love the counselors who are harshest on them. But it's true. The counselor who lays down the law and means it and punishes the children if they don't do it, as long as he's being fair and he does it in love, that's the person who usually receives the love of the children as well. And it's certainly true of the home, as well as the camp and other places. And if you faithfully discipline your children, it will benefit their souls. And if you faithfully discipline your children, it will please God. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him from the dawn. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, may we never pretend to be more pious than thyself, and may we never follow those authorities of the world that suggest other ways of raising children
contrary to your truth. But grant unto us a holy application of all of the means that you've given us to raising our children, that when they are old, they might not depart from the way in which they were made to go when they were young. Oh God, every one of us who are parents knows that we've been unfaithful in many aspects of this responsibility. We've not always disciplined in love. We've not always been consistent. We've not always done it out of the fear of your name and with the love of the souls of our children. We've not done it in a spirit of prayer. We've often done it in anger. Oh God, sanctify us by the truth in this matter. And we confess that thy word is truth. Our Father, you've been faithful in showing us this. Help us to be faithful in obeying. We thank you for being a better Father to us than ever we have been to our children. For too often we do discipline after our pleasure, but you always discipline for our good. Help us to imitate your love to our children. We beseech you to help us, that there might be raised up in this place a generation that will walk ruly and according to your holy scriptures and fear your name and love your truth. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.